Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Rossari Biotech Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ayesha Shah from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Rossari Biotech Q3 and 9-month FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Edward Menezes, Promoter and Executive Chairman, Mr. Sunil Chari, Promoter and Managing Director, Mr. Ketan Sablok, Group Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Mansi Nisal, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin the call with opening remarks from the management, following which we will have forum open for question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would like to invite Mr. Edward Menezes to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ayesha. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our Q3 and 9-month FY23 earnings call to discuss the operating and financial performance for the quarter. I hope you all had the opportunity to go through our results presentation, which provides details of our operational and financial performance. We have reported a stable performance during the quarter despite the ongoing challenging operating environment. All our standalone segments, including HPPC, Textile, and AHN, have reported a stable performance. However, our subsidiaries witnessed a slowdown due to subdued demand, leading to lower consolidated sales during the quarter. During the quarter, we were able to improve our margin performance both on a QOQ and on a YOY basis as a result of moderating raw material prices. Our focus continued on prioritizing products with better margins, which has resulted in improved profitability. As the market begins to stabilize, we should see improved performance moving forward. The company has been committed to the development of green and sustainable chemicals since its inception. This focus on sustainability is part of the company's identity, and we have invested in R&D to create a range of eco-friendly products over the years. Given the global shift towards environmentally friendly solutions, we hope to capitalize on our investments as well as help create a healthier and more sustainable future. With this, I would like to conclude my address, and I now hand it over to Mr. Chari for his comments.
Thank you, Edward ji. Good evening and a warm namaste to everyone. Q3 remained a challenging quarter for us, with our subsidiaries facing some slowdown. At a standalone level, we have maintained our revenues while improving our margin performance. As the operating environment stabilizes, we believe we are well equipped to pursue high growth opportunities given our comprehensive product offerings, flexible capacities, and R&D capabilities. Additionally, our acquisitions have expanded our presence into new regions and product categories, further broadening our growth horizons. Our commitment to R&D has been instrumental in establishing Rossari as a leading specialty chemicals manufacturer, providing intelligent and sustainable solutions. With a proven track record of developing innovative and tailored chemical solutions for customers across multiple industries, we aim to expand our customer base in our existing segments while also exploring new industries such as water treatment, paper, ceramic, and cement. Our recent launches in these industries have received favorable responses, and we are optimistic about achieving growth in this segment in the coming year. The specialty chemicals industry in India is poised for subsequent significant growth in the coming years, driven by factors such as increasing demand for specialized chemicals in various end-use industries and the shift towards sustainable solutions. Despite the industry facing some near-term headwinds, the long-term outlook remains positive and intact. the Indian government's support for the growth of the domestic specialty chemical sector is also a positive factor. In the long run, we believe that the specialty chemicals industry in India presents a bright future and offers promising opportunities for growth. On this note, I would now request Ketan sir to share his perspective.
Thank you, Chari sir, and good evening to everyone. Rossari performed steadily during this quarter on a standalone level, despite the pressures we experienced in previous quarters. Our subsidiaries witnessed a slowdown in Q3 due to decreased demand, which resulted in lower sales on a consolidated basis. However, I am happy to say that post-acquisition on a nine-month basis, both our subsidiaries have done exceptionally well, both in terms of top line as well as the margins. We have been able to synergize the business between the group companies very well, be it in operations, sales, R&D and new business development. The impact of this will further be visible over the next few years. We continue to focus on expanding our high margin product portfolio. This was evident in our improved gross margins and EBITDA over the last few quarters. Our gross margins have improved to reach 30% in Q3 FY23 compared to 25% in Q3 FY22. The improvement is visible in the standalone business also, with the gross margins moving up from 22% in Q3 FY22 to 29% in Q3 FY23. Furthermore, our EBITDA margins also improved to reach 14% compared to 11% in Q3 FY22. So the uptick in margins is clearly visible both in the standalone and the consolidated business. Rossari's financial position continues to remain robust. A solid balance sheet, positive cash flows, and other inherent strengths will enable the company to continue its growth trajectory in the coming quarters. Overall, we remain confident in our ability to deliver long-term value to our stakeholders through our focus on profitability, innovation, and growth. That's all from my side. I would now request Mansi to take you quickly through the financials for the quarter and 9 months, and then we will open the forum for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, Ketan sir. Good evening, everyone. Let me provide you with a brief overview of the financial performance for the quarter ended December 31, 2022. On a consolidated basis, revenues came in at 389 crores as against 428 crores in Q3 FY22. On a standalone basis, revenues from operations stood at 237 crores compared to 268 crores in Q3 FY22. Revenues from HPPC stood at 271 crore, contributing to 69.7% of revenues, followed by textile businesses at 89.5 crore, contributing to 23%, and AHN at 28.6 crore, contributing to 7.3% of total revenues on a consolidated basis. On a standalone basis, EBITDA stood at 32 crore as against 28 crore in Q2 FY23. PAT during the quarter stood at 17.5 crore as against 15.4 crore in Q2 FY23. On a consolidated basis, EBITDA stood at 54.2 crore as against 56.5 crore in Q2 FY23. PAT during the quarter stood at 25.7 crore as against 23.9 crore in Q2 FY23. On that note, I come to the end of my opening remarks and would request the moderator to open the forum for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Sanjesh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I got few of them. Hopefully, I don't exceed the time. But starting with the revenue side, can you explain us the standalone revenue, though on a lower base, it has been flattish and Q3 is generally a stronger quarter. And annualized Q3 number, we are still significantly lower than what we did in the FY 2022. And then in the same context, can you help us understand what was the volume growth? Because I know that the prices have been falling because of the softening of raw material prices, so it doesn't give the right picture. So to understand it better, two things: can you help us understand the volume? And second, I also request, I know you don't give the sub-segmental number, but can you just broadly help us understand how our ingredient, private label, Boozel, and performance chemical are doing in the standalone? That's my first question.
Yeah. Hi, Sanjesh. So yeah, on the standalone business, we've been a little stagnant on the quarter-on-quarter performance. I think the one segment that has seen some headwinds is the textile chemical division. We are seeing a little slowdown on the textile sector, and that's impacting the TSC business of ours. So that's one of the reasons why we've not seen a real growth coming on the standalone. Secondly, on the HPPC, we've been able to maintain our run rate on the standalone business, even though we had some headwinds in with at least one of the customers. But we've been able to cover that to a larger extent with some new customer additions, especially one key MNC that we've added in the last quarter. I think that's helping us play out quite well and helping us cover this business loss which we've had. I think going forward, I think in the next couple of quarters, we should be in a position to negate this loss on an entirety. AHN, we are seeing good growth year-on-year, almost 20% growth we've seen. Q-on-Q has been a little stagnant, but we expect the momentum in this division to continue, and we are expecting Q4 in AHN to be stronger. And then going forward into the next year, we expect this business to grow significantly, at least anything between 30%-35% kind of growth we are expecting in the AHN. Though it's a small base business, but it's a high value and high margin business for us. So that's on the standalone. So if you have anything else on the standalone, I can clarify.
Just a follow-up. Ketan, can you help us on quarter-on-quarter volume growth? Because I think prices have softened, so the stable revenue is not the right picture, right? That's number one. Number two, the customer we spoke about, where there is a headwind, is it completely zero or there is more impact which may likely come in the next quarter?
Can you come on the second part again? I missed out. Sanjesh?
Second part is on the one customer.
Sanjesh, you'll have to be a little louder, please.
Now, am I good now?
Now it's better. Now it's better.
Okay. Just on the one customer, where we spoke about a headwind in terms of the run rate, which has hurt the standalone business, is that customer entirely zero, or there is some more revenues to be knocked off from the base which need to be recouped with the new customer? How should we see that?
No, the run rate with that customer now is completely zero.
Acha is zero. So that headwind is no more going into the next quarter, right?
No.
Okay. And in terms of volume growth in the standalone?
I think some amount of volume growth has been there. HPPC, as I said, the volume has been, we've been able to cover up most of this volume which we lost out because of this customer. But otherwise, we've not seen any volume drop. Textiles is largely quarter-on-quarter, I think, is mostly impacted due to softening of prices because RM prices have kept coming down.
Got it. Second, on the subsidiary part of the business where we have declined 18% from a seasonally weak quarter, which was in the Q2, In general, agrochemical per se is doing fantastic. If you look at agrochemical companies' number, there at least it doesn't shows like there is an headwind from the industry perspective. Can you help us understand why Rossari has had a very muted quarter this quarter?
Historically, Sanjay ji, namaste, main Chari bol raha hoon. Historically, agro season is strong in the first two quarters for last 30 years for Unitop. So the third quarter is always, little weak. Third and fourth quarters are weak for Unitop. If you see quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year,
On a YOY basis.
Compared to quarter three of last year, Unitop has done very well in spite of RM prices falling and FG prices falling.
No. So basically, my question was that even on a YOY basis, it's down 5%, while if you look at the industry growth.
Yeah, because the raw material prices have fallen substantially. I think more than 15% finished goods prices have fallen. So we have done well, comparatively.
Understand that.
Ha, Sanjay ji?
Volume growth kya tha, if you can help us on that, in the subsidiary business?
So subsidiary business quarter-on-quarter, Sanjesh, as Chari sir said, Unitop volumes and Tristar volumes have been slightly impacted. One, because Unitop, the agro season is, as you said, generally is in the first half. We expect that to now pick up from mid-February onwards. In Tristar, we've seen little headwinds in our exports to Europe and probably also to Russia. And that there was a slowdown around November and December in these exports. Late December, the exports have picked up again, and I think in this quarter, we should see Tristar coming back to its quarterly run rate. So these two have impacted our overall subsidiary volumes.
Got it, got it. A follow-up on the guidance, we guided that in FY23, we will achieve a 20 billion rupees of revenue and a 2.5 billion of EBITDA. In current context, it looks like slightly challenging. Are we updating on the guidance, and how should one look at FY24 in that context?
Yeah, so given the way the second half has panned out, I don't think we are going to hit that number of 2,000 crores. Going by the current run rate, I think we should be closer to about 1650, 1700 crores, around that number. So around the 1700 crores top line, we should be closing this year.
And EBITDA, sir?
And EBITDA, we should be at about 220, 230 crores kind of an EBITDA we should be able to do.
And anything you want to talk about FY24 now that the base is also favorable? Is it fair to assume that next year we should be doing upwards of 20% in terms of revenue and EBITDA?
Yeah, so we are looking at FY24 to at least give us a 15-20% kind of a growth on the top line. And with better margin profile. That's how we are looking at it now.
And now that the raw material prices have corrected, the base effect is not there. We should be fastly moving towards the 17-18% EBITDA margin which we were doing earlier in next 1-2 years. That is fairly possible right now?
Yes, I cannot say that for the next year, but yes, we are moving towards that. You see our numbers are slowly improving, so over the next 2 years, we should get back to our 16-17% kind of levels. We should be there.
Got it, got it. Thanks, Chetanji. Thanks, Sariji, for all the answers and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you, Sanjay.
Welcome, Sanjay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Participants are requested to press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and good afternoon, sir. So first question is again on the subsidiaries front. So is there any element of inventory destocking at customers' end and that has impacted our volumes, and probably this phenomenon can continue for a quarter, couple of quarters, and which may have further impact on the volumes. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think it is visible in TriStar, where you know we saw some slowdown on the export side in this quarter. So that we what we understand was a phenomenon of destocking which is happening in the customers. But we expect that to get normalized at least by mid of this quarter. So we should be doing a little better in TriStar in Q4.
And for Unitop, any comments?
Unitop, we are not seeing anything on this. In fact, our non-agro business in Unitop has done pretty well. So we are quite happy with that. We've seen a good growth in the non-agro part of the business.
Right, got it. The second question is on the textile specialty. So in the last 3-4 quarters, we have seen that there have been multiple headwinds because of which this particular segment has not done well. Any green shoot that we are seeing from the demand perspective or the segment now, you know, picking up and probably in a quarter, couple of quarters, things will start looking substantially better? Thank you.
Namaste, Rohitji. I'm Chari here. Textile industry, we are seeing, you know, still some slowdown in this quarter, and indications are that from May, June onwards, again, demand should pick up very well. This year, you know, the domestic demand was good, but the export demand was muted for all good exporters, which you can see in the results of the textile companies also. We feel, you know, we have seen exports picking up for Rosari for the textiles, and we think that next financial year should do better than this year.
Right, sir. Got it. Thanks a lot for answering all the questions, and best of luck. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a question from Palak Shah from Infina Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So just incrementally, we've been discussing for the last 2 quarters that we are now focusing more on the higher margin business. In that context, when you look at a new order or new chemistry, what's the benchmark margins that you actually focus on?
So good afternoon, Mr. Vallabh. I'm Edward here. So all our new projects are always targeted to 20% EBITDA. Now, of course, this depends on the market and the competition. But most of the projects that we've started, they would be at least 30% plus gross margins and about 18 to 20% EBITDA. That is how we look at our new projects. However, having said that, we have a few aces of our sleeve, like a green surfactant, or the you know, silicone-based wetting agents that we've developed recently, as well as some of the products in spin finish and in-house production of you know, esters, etc. There the margins will be higher, and very consciously we have taken a decision to promote the animal health and nutrition business, which we believe can grow much faster than the other segments. And historically, the gross margins in this business is upwards of 50%. So we are looking at promoting animal health and nutrition products very aggressively in the coming quarter, and focusing on a few products which are coming up newly.
All right. In this, so secondly, given that you're saying volumes have been stable, but what you have lost is purely because of pricing. So what would be our current capacity utilization across plants or across segments, and would you be requiring to put up more capacity over the next 2 to 3 years, depending on your projections of the revenue growth and volume growth?
So currently, our capacity utilization this year has been around you know, average of about 55% odd. So we have enough headroom now in our facilities, so both in Rosari as well as in our two subsidiaries. And I think immediately over the next couple of years, we do not plan to put in any large capex for any kind of an expansion. We have enough room within our current infrastructure to, almost do double up the turnover. So currently, no plans of any further expansions.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much for this, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Mahesh Vyas from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Good evening. Sir, where do you think, how you think on your AHN business and HPPC business over the 3 years down the line? And the second question is on, do you face any major challenge in your textile chemistry business?
So we are expecting the HPPC business to double in 3 years, 3 to 4 years, and AHN to definitely double in 3 years or more. In 2 years, Ketan sir is saying, 2 saal mein double ho jayega AHN business. Textile business, we are expecting to double in 4 to 5 years. So what is our plan till now? We are on track, except, for the Ukraine war, we had something down in the subsidiaries. I think in 3 to 4 years, we should double sales what we have now.
Sure, sir. Thanks. And what are the capacity utilization across the levels or all three segments?
Currently, as I said, we are at about 55% kind of capacity utilization.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Vyas. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Harsh Shah from Nuvama Wealth Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on HPCC segment. So in investor presentation, you mentioned that the degrowth in HPCC was majorly attributable to the degrowth in the subsidiaries. So, sir, can you quantify how much growth in on standalone basis and how much was on in subsidiary level?
Sorry, what was your last question? How much was on?
So, can you quantify, sir, how much degrowth was attributed to the subsidiary and how much degrowth was attributed on the standalone level?
So, majorly the degrowth that has happened is on the subsidiaries front. So the 9% kind of degrowth that we've seen in this quarter over Q2 majorly is because of the lower demand in the agro part and the lower offtake from the exports of TriStar. So these two have been the major causes for this drop.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So in terms of integration, the integration of the two subsidiaries, is it completely done now? And are we able to accrue any benefits from the same? Thank you.
Yeah, so I think I had touched upon this in my opening remarks. If you see see the performance of the two subsidiaries, they've done exceptionally well on a year-on-year YTD basis. And I think much of this could happen because of Rosari coming into the picture and a lot of the synergistic plans which we had put in are slowly visible. So be it in our operations, production activities, R&D, even on the business development and the sales front, I think the teams are working very cohesively and building the Rosari brand across all the three companies. I think more of this. We are seeing an improvement on this, and I think going forward, you will see these aspects playing out further in the next few quarters and few years. So I think most of it, it's a developmental activity, and you will keep seeing this improvement going forward.
Okay, for example, Rohitji, in certain product ranges like the skin finish, so the synergy happened between Unitop and Rosari. Then for the regenerated cellulose additives, again Unitop and Rosari. If you look at the silicone wetter, so the silicone wetter was a combination between all the three companies, TriStar, Unitop and Rosari. So if you see, for many product ranges, synergy has played out very well. And apart from that, the non-agro business has been really stimulated by the presence of Rosari and their network in both India as well as in the export market. So from the product synergy part of it, we've done extremely well. And of course, HR and finance and other departments, there was complete integration in the first 6 to 8 months itself.
Right, sir. Thank you. So just one bookkeeping question. In terms of maintenance capex on a consolidated basis, what would be the number for FY23 and FY24? And during 9 months, what would be the exports percentage? Thank you.
9 months, exports.
26. Yeah, exports as a percentage of sales on a consolidated basis.
On a consolidated basis, our exports are about 25%
in 9 months.
24%. 24%, yeah. 93. And our capex spend, I think, during this would be about 20.
Consolidated would be 5%.
About 5 to 10 crores, kind of.
Not much.
Not much. Okay, and next year also a similar run rate would be there, because our capacities are still...
But we may do some small projects here and there. So overall, we don't expect to spend more than 30-40 crores kind of number.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, and best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Aman Shah from GTA Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on volume growth. I just missed what was the volume growth on a year-on-year basis in subsidiary and standalone in this quarter, sir?
So I think we've already talked about this earlier. The fall in revenue that you're seeing in consolidated, is most of it is due to the fall in subsidiary volumes. So that 9% odd fall in the consolidated revenue, most of it is attributable to the volume degrowth.
Okay. No, but because the prices have dropped, so should we, like, the volume degrowth also is similar to value degrowth on an overall basis?
So... yeah, so some part of the raw material price fall we are seeing, and that's more visible in the standalone revenue, where more than the volume, fall slightly has happened because of the price corrections that we have done. But not in the subsidiaries, that's not the case.
Okay. Then for next year, we are giving like a 15-20% should be the revenue growth, and with better margins. And so how should we look at the margin level? Like this year, we are giving a guidance of 13% that we will close at for full year EBITDA, considering 220 crores is what you say. So should we, and 16-17% is what we think will happen over a 2-year period as we embark on the high profitability products. For next year, should we work with a 14-15% margin? Would you think that's a fair assessment?
Yes, as an assessment, you can do that. But as I said, we will be moving towards that 16-17. I don't want to give you a number as such, but The movement will be from 13% to 17% over the next 2 years.
Okay, okay. Sir, the third is in subsidiaries part, we have total breakup on the consolidated sales between HPPC, textile and AHN business. In subsidiary, most of it will be part of HPPC?
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay. Sir, my just first question is on competition. We always say that we don't compete directly with our vendors. We actually take product from our vendor and improve on their products to make it customized for our customer. Who exactly is our class of competitor? That I want to understand. Is it like the consumer, its customer itself does all these things at its own end, that we actually give that service to the customer? Because if we are not competing with our vendors, and I don't know much of who can be our direct competitor except on the textile part, but if you can help me understand, who are a class of competitors, whether the work that the client itself is doing, that we are actually helping him do that work?
Amanji, namaste, I'm Chari here. In terms of competition, if you see animal health nutrition, we have Kemin, Cargill, Novus, Alltech, Jubilant, Zydus Cadila, Zoetis. These are the kind of competitors we face in animal health nutrition. In the HPPC segment, we always have given that Dow, BSF, Croda, Solvay, these are the kind of competitors. SNF is one we face. And in textiles, we have again the multinationals like Arkoma, Huntsman, Croda, CHT and Polkra. So basically we go for premium niche products, and we try to give value-added solutions where we try to reduce either the process cost or the process time, or make their process more sustainable in terms of reducing TDS or VOD or COD. All in all, making the customers more sustainable is a focus for us, either in terms of green chemistry or in terms of cost.
Okay. So and basically also, if I can understand, I think agility and giving the product at the fastest, the solution at a very fast pace is, on a sustainable basis, is also one of our advantages. That would be right way to put against all these competitors.
Yeah, that is true. Because that is our backbone, formulation and giving customer a customized solution with our center of excellence at IIT Powai. That is one of the key differentiators that Rosari has with its competition. And the speed with which and the flexibility with which our teams are tuned to work, that also differentiates Rosari. So if you ask somebody in the market, then you will notice that Rosari can really deliver solutions and products to the market much faster than most of our competitors.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anand.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have a question from the line of Ashit Koti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Just follow up to the earlier question on competition. If we have to say that top two competitors in each segment, top two competitors to the company.
What we believe, as you know, we are one of the speakers or the ones who asked questions said that we don't compete, but companies supplying similar kind of products, the top ones which I mentioned, so like in terms of acrylic agents or in surfactants, companies like BSF, Solvay, Croda, Dow, these are some very, very good ones who we consider as competitors. People who copy us, we don't consider them as our competitors. In textiles, again, Arkoma, Huntsman, Croda, these are companies we admire. in terms of Animal Nutrition, Kemin, Altec, Novus. These are three companies we admire.
And on what criteria we beat them?
What criteria? What did you say, sir?
In which criteria we beat them?
We focus on giving value-added formulations which can reduce their process time or process cost or make them more sustainable. For example, if there is a product used in detergents, can we reduce the cost of the detergent or give better cleaning property, better shine to the cloth, or make it more greener, more sustainable detergent? That would be the way we work in our R&D lab at IIT Powai, and that is what has helped us reach this stage, in our company's growth cycle.
And we are zero affluent in all our plants?
No, zero affluent. No, we have, as a company, our focus is always on products which produce zero effluent, but we have to wash because as a specialty chemical company, we have more than 5,000 products on our range. So when we change over from one product to another, definitely there is washing, and then washing has to be treated. So we have permissions at the age for the requisite treatments.
But then discharge, we don't discharge at all.
At the H only we have discharge permission.
So it means that our water consumption is product change, our water consumption would be always higher, and we cannot be zero, 0% in terms of water consumption. That is, all whatever water we consume, we recycle, we reuse, so that our we are net zero on water consumption.
So we are a very green company. As you said, majority of the products do not generate any effluent. And
right.
If you see our chemistry, sir, we are into enzyme, silicon, acrylic and surfactant. So these four chemistries are very, very good and green chemistries in terms of comparison. We don't do any hazardous processes like chlorination, nitration, halogenation or aminations in a big way. Our processes are more ethoxylation, propoxylation, polymerization and distillation, and effluent is not generated mostly in this.
So we can say our products are green products, and we can earn carbon credits in this case?
Yeah. So we do that. We have a calculation for earning carbon credits there.
And how much of earning contribution and over a period of next 5 years, carbon credit can become a part of our profitability?
No, I don't think that's anything major.
Not major.
No, it's not major.
Right, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
As there are no more questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for your patient hearing. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. Should you need any further clarifications or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our team or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on this call. And have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of Rosary Biotech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.